Blog Talk Radio.
All right, we are going to get started with Life Group tonight. We are getting ready to go into an entire series on the power of prayer and prayer strategy. Before we get started, we're going to open up with the word of prayer. Mm. Father God, we thank you for this day and for the opportunity to be in your presence, God. We pray, God, that you would be in this place, God, that what we do here would be about you and not about us, that we would have greater understanding, more clarity in your word, God, and that we would be able to apply it. God, we pray that from the youngest to the oldest, we would learn something new about you or something new about your word or some new way to apply it strategically to our lives. But God, we want you to get all the glory. May we decrease that you might increase. In Jesus' name, amen. So there is a movie that's coming out, and it's going to be in the theaters August 28th called War Room. And War Room is all about an older woman, Miss Clara, who is a prayer warrior and intercessor, and so she, you know, has just spent her life praying for people, praying for marriages, praying for the fire of God to manifest. And she asked God to send the fire down and make people excited about God like she is. And she asked him to guide her to who to help. And he directs a young lady into her life who was married with a child, and she's a realtor. And as the woman is going through Miss Clara's house and she's looking at the house because Miss Clara's going to sell her house, she sees a room. And in this room, there are pieces of paper with writing all over it. And these are prayers that she's prayed over time for different situations, for different people. And that's her, what she calls her war room. And it really gives a new perspective on how we approach prayer. It's not new, but, you know, when we in the church have gotten so away from the power of prayer and from strategic prayer, it really reminds us that we are in a war. This is a battle. And when you understand that you're in a battle and you're a soldier, then you've got to have the correct weaponry. You know, we talk about putting on the whole armor of God as a part of our ability to prepare for battle. But it's more than just that. It's knowing how to pray with understanding and without understanding, praying in the Spirit so that we can effectively manifest the will of God when we don't know what that is. Because sometimes we don't know. Sometimes we just don't know exactly what it is that he wants. But this Bible study and the people who wrote the book War Room, because it is a book that was turned into a movie, are the same people who did Fireproof and Courageous. It's along those same lines, but it's powerful, some of the scenes and what happens in it. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to let you guys see
the trailer.
Where did you get that book at?
I ordered it from Christian Books. Let me see that, Brittany. I ordered it from ChristianBooks.com, but I think I'm going to let you guys see a trailer from War Room so that you can get an idea of what the movie is about, and I think it'll help you in understanding what it is that we're going to be looking at, because everybody's got to establish their own war room. It's not like there's this one war room or one person who prays, but it is when all of God's people, you know, humble themselves and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways, you know, that he'll hear from heaven and he'll heal our land. And I think we're looking for the land to be healed, but we're not praying the way we need to pray.
Is the movie out?
The movie is not out, but it's going to be in theaters August 28th, but I ordered it, and so hopefully we'll get it next week so that we can actually see it.
Started out before it hit the movie theater?
Yeah.
They have to do that. They have to put on CDs and put on movies.
You talking about you bootlegged it?
No, I did not bootleg it. I want y'all to hear me clearly. For all legal purposes, I did not bootleg it. No, they have a special thing that they do with churches. Where they will allow them to do like a campaign to help generate excitement about the movie and get people to go out when it comes to the theaters. Because I feel I want to see it in the theater.
I don't like theater movies. It costs too much.
You've been in the theater.
No.
Adam's a movie skipper.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be one tomorrow, but I can't do one tomorrow. Because Jamal.
Is Jamal on the line?
He's on my phone right now.
Okay. Is he listening to Bible study?
Yeah.
Okay.
My phone right now. So can you plug it up, please?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Jamal has some personal problems, so he can't go.
What's wrong with him?
No.
No.
Your grandma?
Nope.
What?
Not his blood family.
Okay, Adam, that's enough. All right.
She knows.
Nope.
Dad.
Nope.
Anyway, I'm a kid.
When you get there, we're going to go to verse 10. Makai,
mm-hmm.
Turn around. Where's the iPad? Get the iPad and get on the Bible. Sit over there by your brother so y'all can share. Ephesians 6. Starting with verse 10.
My Bible don't have Ephesians.
Go to the table of contents. Yes, it is. It's several. I put several on there.
I don't see any.
Go over there by Adam, please. Okay. Mm-hmm. You got it, Britt?
What's the website?
Mom.
What's the website?
She already
has
it.
All right. Okay. Brittany, if you read 10 and 11.
The whole armor of God. A final word. Be strong with the Lord's mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies and tricks of the devil.
So we know from this scripture that the devil has strategies. So if the devil has strategies, then we've got to be able to fight with strategies as well. And so Paul begins to talk about how we engage in this fight and why we engage in the fight. 12. Go ahead and read 12 too, Brittany.
For we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against those mighty powers of darkness who rule this world, and against wicked spirits in the heavenly realms.
Okay, so we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. So the battle is not with people. So when we fight with people, we're missing the mark, and we're not being strategic in what we're doing. Instead, we have to understand that we're not fighting against flesh and blood, and so we can't use the weapons that we would use in the natural. So if you have a problem with someone, is the best thing to do to argue with them? What should you do, Adam?
Pray.
What should you pray?
For them?
Pray that you don't say something that you're not supposed to.
Okay, that's one way. You know, pray that you don't say something that you're not supposed to. Pray for them. Makai, you said pray for them.
Yeah.
Why'd you say pray for them?
Because just in case they have anger issues, you want them to get solved.
Mm-hmm.
And other types of stuff that I don't know.
Okay, so you want their anger issues to get solved. You want, if they have something like that. What else? What else can we do?
Leave.
We can leave, but I'm talking about that's a strategy. But when we leave, so we're talking about praying and praying for them.
Hello.
Pull those chairs out.
Hello,
hey, sir.
I told you my pastor was going to start on time.
Ow!
They were doubting us, Pastor.
They were doubting. Uh-huh.
Doubting Thomas.
So When we pray, if the enemy has strategy, then we have to have strategy as well. Because we can't fight a spiritual battle with fleshly weapons. Okay? So, this is where God talks about putting on the whole armor of God. Put it over there. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Ow.
You got to go over that way, son, so that you can. And why would you leave the chair in the middle of the floor?
I didn't. I gave it to the table.
You left your right hand. Okay. So now he's told us that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but that we are fighting against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. Okay? Now, because that's what we're doing, I want you to think about this. I remember reading a book, and I can't think of the name of the book right now, but in this book, it opened up the fact that even in the midst of us having life group right now, there is a war that's taking place above us. Angels and demons are fighting. They're fighting for us, for the right to influence us, for the right to control us, to create distraction, disruption, to prevent the will of God from manifesting in our lives. There's a war that's going on. And though we can't see it, it's a very real battle.
At the heavenly realms?
In the heavenly realms, yes. Yes, there's a war that's going on. And in the book, it showed different scenes. It would talk about different scenes that were happening and the war that was going on and what really was going on, because what it looked like in the natural was not what was going on in the spirit. So in the spirit, there's a war that's going on, and here it just looks like we're talking. But over Brittany's head, there is a demon that is trying to, you know, attack her, to influence her. And there's an angel saying, you need to back up off her. You don't have any authority. You don't have any dominion. And how we activate the angels to fight on our behalf is through what? Prayer. Prayer. Prayer is how we release and dispatch the angels to war on our behalf, and not just on our behalf, because if we're only concerned about ourselves, then we're missing the bigger picture, because it's about the kingdom. So I can't just pray that angels move on my behalf. I've got to know that Brittany's going through something, and I need to dispatch angels to fight on her behalf.
Amen.
I've got to look at what's going on around me and begin to pray strategically over people's lives, that they'll get clarity, that they'll see, that they'll feel the love of God, that they'll know that God loves them, that they'll be able to tap into God's plan and purpose for their life. Young people, we've got to be able to pray for you all, but you all also have to be able to pray for yourselves and for one another. So, it's easy when you're siblings. Yeah, I know, you're siblings and you get on each other's nerves, right? And so you want to fight each other. You want to hit one another. You feel like the only way to solve the problem if someone does something to you is to physically respond to what they did. But guess what? The reality is the greatest change you will ever see in someone is when you take them to God in prayer. So sometimes you've got to not respond. You've got to not lash out. You've got to not touch them. And you've got to pray for them. And you have to give them to God. In relationships, it's the same way. You know, in relationships, you can't do it. See, there are times when talking is not going to get it done. You're at an impasse talking. And it's going to take a move of God to touch the heart of that person to create a change. And you will know when people are praying, because prayer will cause you to do some stuff that you in your flesh, in your natural self, would never do. When Rick and I were separated, I knew Whitfield was praying. Now, I knew he wasn't the only one, but I knew that Whitfield was praying that we get back together. I knew he was. I knew it. And I told him, Whitfield, you need to stop praying. We both telling him, you need to stop praying. You need to stop praying. But he didn't stop praying. And his prayers allow move on my heart and for us to come back together. And the kids. And the kids. That our family would be restored. Why? To show people that it doesn't matter how bad it looks or how done it seems, that God still has the ability to restore relationships and families because God loves family.
Can I share something with you also, Doc?
Yes, you can.
The reason I was praying so hard because a wise person once told me that, and they showed it to me in the Bible, that God will move on your prayers when you are praying for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And if I wanted him to move on my marriage, then I had to be praying for someone else's marriage.
Yes.
I did it.
So, we know that this is not about people. It's not about individuals. Okay? So you can never get caught up in people when things happen. You've got to stay focused on it is a spiritual battle that's taking place. Okay? So we're in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Michaela, you got your phone?
Yeah.
You there? Ephesians chapter 6.
I found it. I just came
in the back
of the book.
Ephesians chapter 6. And we're at verse 13.
I don't know. I
guess I said
Ephesians
2. Okay. Ephesians 6:13. I found
Ephesians 1.
Okay. Okay. While they're getting that, Natasha, will you read verse 13 for us?
Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand.
So, now, that means, it says, therefore put on every piece of God's armor, or therefore put on the armor of God, so you will be able to stand in the day of evil or in the time of evil. You will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. That means that the time of evil is going to come. Not that it might come, but that it's going to come. That's real. That just is, right? It's not it may come. It's not if it comes. No, it's that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. That time is going to come. And it's not just going to come for us adults. It's going to come for you young people, too. The temptation to do wrong is going to come. The desire to do wrong is going to come. And when it comes, you've got to be able to resist the enemy that tells you, go on and hit your brother.
Okay.
Go on and hit your sister.
He hit me earlier.
See?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Didn't resist. But then what was your response, Makai? Because, see, that tells something also.
I chased him.
Uh-huh.
I didn't hit him. I walked.
Okay. Yes. But you still were responding to the flesh.
Mm-hmm. He smacked me 3 times this week.
Mm-hmm. But you're responding to the flesh. Now, imagine this. He slapped you, but you went to God and you said, God, that's my brother and I love him. And I don't understand why he's hitting me, but God, I need you to stop it. God, you deal with him about it. Because let me tell you what happens. When you begin to ask God to deal with situations for you instead of you trying to deal with them, what you do is you remove yourself from dealing with the flesh, which gets angry, right? Because you're going to get mad. If you keep trying to deal with it and it's not working, you are going to get upset. You're going to get angry. You're going to get frustrated. You're going to get all of those things, right? But if you say, God, you deal with it and you be quiet, then God can move in the situation and move on that person's heart. How do I know? One of the most difficult lessons that I've learned being married is to shut up.
Mm-hmm. You ever notice?
Sometimes I just have to shut up. Sometimes I just have to not say. I can be right all day long.
All day.
to shut up, because if I'm more concerned about proving that I'm right, then I'm going to create more problems in the relationship than if I'm concerned with, okay, God, you know, so I need you to deal with him. You deal with him, God. Because, see, when you deal with him, then he's not going to feel like I'm badgering him. It's not going to be us arguing. And I can just be quiet and let you get him. Get him, God.
I got something.
And what I've discovered is that when I say get him, God, he starts by getting me.
That's good.
Now, I say, God, deal with him. He said, okay, I'm going to deal with him, but before I deal with him, let me deal with you. And that's what we've got to understand, is that in prayer, when we go into prayer and we ask God to deal with the situation, God will always start by dealing with you and what's in our hearts and what we've done and what we said, right? He'll always start with us. He'll show us in the situation. Why do you think God shows us in a situation before he deals with somebody else? Why do y'all think that?
To put you in your place.
Okay. Why does God show you before he shows you, deals with the other person? Brittany, you said to put you in your place. What do you mean? Hold on, Makai. What do you mean?
Well, I let you know that you're not always right, or that maybe you're not as perfect as you might thought of.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good, good. To let you know you're not always right, you're not as perfect as you may have thought, Makai.
That you can still be fixed.
That you can still be fixed. There's work for you to do before you judge somebody else. Exactly right. Why else? Josh? Yes, to show you what you're doing wrong in the situation. Okay, Makai? DeKayla, you got something? So you won't jump to conclusions. Because maybe you misunderstood what was going on. Maybe you thought it was one thing and it was something else. Makai? Worry about you before you worry about somebody else. Mr. Whitfield.
Well, I think that the reason he does that is so that he can prepare my heart for the change in the other person.
Yes.
And if I'm not ready, then what's the use in him changing that individual if I'm still all jacked up?
Mm-hmm. To prepare your heart. To prepare your heart. Makai.
What I was going to say is that he wants you to check yourself instead of checking someone else, because people can judge you a lot of times about you look, but you decide to look at somebody else and judge how they look, which is basically like bullying.
Okay.
Okay.
Good.
Adam, he didn't answer that.
Good. Natasha. What do you think? Why do you think he does?
I'm good.
You're good. Okay, so now he's shown you, right? He softened your heart, and he's dealt with you. And now he can deal with the other person. And when he deals with the other person, instead of you saying, I told you so.
I can say that. Mom, I can say that.
You have compassion. Because now God has dealt with you on some stuff about you. And it allows you to be compassionate towards the other person as the change is manifesting. Okay? So, now, ask the battle, you'll be able to stand and stand firm. Now, this is important, right? There's a difference between standing and standing firm. What's the difference? Let me demonstrate. Come on, Josh.
No, let me do it.
Come on, Josh. I need you to get in a three-point stance.
Football, get up. Bye.
Y'all are playing football, right? Stances are important, right?
Wow.
Why is your stance so important?
Yeah, she just did it wrong.
Come on, get in your stance. Get in your stance. You're on the line. You're on the line. Get in your stance. You look cute. Go on, get in your stance now.
Whoa.
Don't say that.
Okay. Now, this is how you know whether or not your stance is good by how firm you are.
No.
See, if I can move you like that, you're not in a good stance.
No, Mom.
Your stance ain't good.
Mom.
Okay? All right?
They smack his hand to see if he's not all the way putting his pressure on his fingertips.
Is that what it is?
That's what they did to him. Get back in position.
Come on, Josh. Get in your stance. Get in your stance.
I'm good.
Okay, all right. So he was steady, right? He was steady, but he knew you were going to slap his hand. So he knew to get firm, right? But you got to stand. Go back in the stand. Go back in the stand. You got to get you. That looks off, Josh. Something don't look right. Now, listen, now. I don't play football, but I know that something don't look right.
I think
he's a quarterback. He don't have to know nothing about no stance. You got to know everything about every position when you're a quarterback. Come on, Makai. Do the stance. Okay, now you see. Look, he's firm. He's firm, right? He's firm. That's standing firm, right? So when the enemy comes, you're firm enough that you can take the hit and not fall down, okay? Versus not being firm, where when you get hit or pushed, you're going to fall down, right? So God is saying, listen, we've got to be able as Christians, thank you, baby, good job. We've got to be as Christians able to stand firm on the word of God. We've got to be able to get flat-footed. We've got to be able to get in a stance like we're getting ready to do something. Not standing up tall like this so the enemy can just have open range, right?
Quarterback.
You just open, right? Like, hit me. Okay? But when you get hit, there's no protection. The reason they tell you in the stance to get low is because they understand that you're trying to reduce the amount of space that your opponent has to hit you.
Or jump over,
right? So you get low so that you reduce the amount of space and you're stabilized. You're stabilized in your stance. The problem with us as Christians is many of us are either standing straight up because we have no stance, or our stance is weak and wobbly. We got one leg up so that if we get hit, we're definitely going to fall. And we will get hit, right? Isn't that what it said? It said that against the enemy, that we can be able to resist the enemy in the day of evil. When evil comes, it's going to come. It's going to come to your door. You're going to encounter situations. It's going to happen. No matter how saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost you may be, tongue speaking and all of that, fire baptized, all of that, it's still going to come. And what you do with it is going to determine your ability to survive. So if we're unsteady and we're not standing firm on what we believe and on the word of God, then we'll get knocked down. But if we stand firm and we put on the whole armor of God, then we're protected. In football, you all have to wear something that you get a little, I don't know if y'all are wearing them yet or not, but you have to wear something to protect.
Your thing to protect your private area.
Your private area.
A groin pad?
No, it's not a groin pad. You have a butt pad. Listen, I don't even play football, and I know this.
It's right here. It's not right here.
No. I'm talking about the jock strap and the cup. You have to wear a cup. When you get to a certain point, you may not be cup worthy yet, okay? But you have to wear a cup.
Yeet.
And the purpose of the cup is to protect your groin, right? Because if you get hit in the groin area, you definitely are going down. That's why when women take self-defense classes, they tell women, go for the groin. Because if you ever get him right in that area, it will immediately immobilize him.
Uh-oh.
If you hit hard enough, yes, it will. Well, after you get up, you got to get up after that, okay?
Mom, but how come I see movies where people kick?
It's a movie.
Everybody just, and then you hear that still noise. Everybody's jacking.
Yeah, but that's a movie.
It also reduces the male's ability to reproduce, too.
Because
that's where all your sperm boards are.
What? Ooh.
In your testicles.
Mom, I feel bad for Job. She got me about Christopher bad.
Yeah. So, in the same way, as Christians, we have a weak spot. And while our weak spot may be different, depending on who we are, it still exists. And that's why we're told, Paul tells us to put on the whole armor of God. Because while one person's weak spot may be their loin, another person's weak spot may be their heart. Another person's weak spot may be their mind. Another person's weak spot may be something else. But at the end of the day, everybody has a weak spot. And the armor allows you to protect yourself no matter where your weak spot is. So let's go back over the armor, because we've talked about this before, but I want y'all to really get this when you're understanding strategy. So let's do one of them each. Do 14, Makai.
Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body of armor of God's righteousness.
Stop right there. Stand your ground. Remember we said standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth. And we learned on Sunday, right, that the truth shall make you free. And the truth comes in Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. He is the truth, right? So we put on the belt of truth. So it doesn't matter what somebody says is the truth if it does not line up with the truth, the word of God, right? So the truth is the word of God. Jesus is the truth, that he came, that he died, that he was buried, that he was resurrected, all for our sins, our transgressions, and that we might have power today. He went through all of that, that we might have power. And that's why in the word it says, Jesus said, now you know when it's in red, that's Jesus' writing. Jesus said, and greater works than these shall you do. He said, all of the stuff I did, you're going to do greater stuff than that. Now that's, I don't know about y'all, but I'm like, greater stuff than Big Brother? Really? Because he raised the dead. He healed the sick, made the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the lame to walk, made people's limbs grow back out. And he said, we'll do greater works than that. We have the power, but we don't know how to use it. We don't know how to tap into it. Because the power comes in accepting him as our Lord and Savior, in his Holy Spirit. That there's the power, but we got to know how to wield the power, okay? So we put on the belt of truth, and we put on the body armor of God's righteousness. We put on the body armor of our righteousness, of our good works, of how good we are to people, of how many people we go see, of how long we read our Bible, how much we fast, how much we pray. Are those the things that, is that where righteousness comes from?
No.
Where does righteousness come from, Adam? Where does righteousness come from?
your heart.
What determines whether or not we're righteous? Is it what we do?
Body honor.
So where does righteousness come from?
Here. The whole armor of God. Truth.
Oh, who's our righteousness?
God.
God's our righteousness. Right? Our righteousness is in Him. Prayer, and the reason I said prayer in the sense that we have to accept Him as our Lord and Savior to receive His righteousness. Okay? But our righteousness is in Him. It's not in us. It's not in what we do. Like, we never on our best day can achieve total righteousness, even though we can do good works. But our righteousness is in Him. He is our righteousness. It is the blood of Jesus that makes us righteous. His sacrifice makes us righteous. That's our righteousness. Does that make sense, Adam?
Yeah, I get it.
Okay, all right.
And let's not get it confused with self-righteous.
Yeah, yeah.
Because so many times, a lot of us Christians, we will end up, if we're not careful, doing just that.
Mm-hmm.
Proclaiming our own righteousness, which is self-righteous.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, like she said earlier, it's not about us, it's about God.
Right.
His righteousness.
And righteousness is basically being in right standing with God. Righteousness is being in right standing with God. That's what righteousness is. It's simply being in right standing with Him. And it's the blood of Jesus that positions us to be in right standing with Him. Okay? All right. 15.
Me? Wait, we already referenced you.
No, we didn't.
Oh, me.
All right, Adam.
For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared.
Okay, stop right there. So, for shoes, we've got to put on the peace that comes from the good news. What is the good news? What's the good news?
News so that you will be fully prepared.
But what is the good news?
Peace.
The peace comes from the good news. But what's the good news? That Jesus died for our sins. That's the good news. That Jesus died for our sins. Now, we have peace because He died for our sins. That we don't have to make a sacrifice. So that's where the peace comes from. So that we will be fully prepared. So that we'll be fully prepared when attacks come. So think about this. The good news is Jesus died for our sins, that our righteousness is in Him, in His sacrifice, that it is God's righteousness and not righteousness of ourself, right? So when you sin, what is the peace that you can have? And if we do what? And all we got to do is what?
Believe in God and repent.
Believe in God and repent.
Woo!
Believe in God and repent. And then we can be in right standing with God, right?
But that don't mean to keep sinning over and over. That same
it doesn't mean to keep sinning again and again and again. But if you do sin again.
And again and again and again.
And again and again. He'll forgive you.
Yeah, but I want to say something about... something about, you know, you can't just keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. Like, then that's wrong.
God forbid that we should do that.
What, commit sins?
No, that we should keep doing the same thing over and over again. It's not saying to do that. It's saying if you do it.
Not smart.
We have an intercessor in Christ. So for some things, you may do it one time. You may learn your lesson. You may stop. Great.
Some kids.
But for other things, you may keep doing that for a while. That may be the thing that is your thing. That's your the sin that you struggle with. And God's not going to just say, oh, well, you're struggling with this, so now I'm just going to throw you away. He doesn't do that. He says, listen, I know what you're capable of, and I know the power that you have, but you've got to know it. And so he doesn't stop loving us because we mess up again and again and again. Because, like parents, as a parent, listen, I know I have to tell them stuff again and again and again
and again.
And again.
Keep going, because that's me.
And that's the truth. But it doesn't mean I love them less. It doesn't mean I love them less. So what we've got to know is, no, he doesn't want us to keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. But his desire is that we would get it right. And so he's going to forgive us and he's going to love us. Now, this is the tricky part, right? The Bible talks about when God turns you over to a reprobate mind, you know, where a reprobate mind is like you just do whatever you want to do and you have no thought for God. You have no thought for God.
Is it basically like beyond scared straight?
Yes, it's like beyond scared straight.
I'm not afraid of
jail. Yeah, it's like beyond scared straight. Like, I'm not scared of God. You know, I don't care about God. God can't do anything to me. But God is not like people. So it's not like he just does that. You keep making the same mistake. Well, I just think about how patient he was with me, just in dealing with my stuff, and how patient he continues to be with me in dealing with my stuff. He doesn't just say, I give up. He doesn't do it. He doesn't do it. And so what we have to do is approach God with a desire to do right. I don't think that God wants us to do right out of fear. He wants us to do right out of love. It's like the person who doesn't cheat because they don't want to get caught.
On test,
in a relationship, you know. They don't want to cheat. They're not cheating. It's not that they don't want to cheat. They want to cheat, but they're not cheating because they don't want to get caught. It's not they're not cheating because they value doing their own work, or they value and love the other person so much. They don't want to do that. They don't want to hurt them. They don't want to go through that, right? It's not about getting caught. So you've got to know that God doesn't just toss you to the curb.
I got something to show. Can cheating be like in Jumping Jack?
Yes, it can.
This one cheats all day. This is what he does.
But you know what you do? You know what you just did, Makai? You know what you just did?
The mirror thing.
Yep.
The mirror, yes.
What mirror?
Yeah.
Oh.
You pointed out his stuff. This is why we got to be careful.
And me.
This is why we got to be careful. And this is where judgment comes in and judging comes in. Because the Word of God says that if we judge others the same measure that we judge them with, we get judged with. So you're talking about him cheating on Jumping Jack, but what do you cheat on?
Push up from PE.
Okay. So you can't be so quick to point the finger at someone because you're going to get judged with the same thing. All right, 16.
Me?
16. DeKayla, you read, didn't you? Josh?
No, I didn't read.
Oh, you didn't read? Okay, go ahead.
Where are you going?
In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows.
Fiery
arrows
mm-hmm.
of the devil.
Okay. Addition to all of those, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. What are some fiery arrows that the devil shoots?
Judgment.
Judgment. Very good.
He's really quick to use God's scriptures against God.
He's really quick to use scriptures against.
Don't
yes,
forget
it
about,
is.
Don't forget about that thing, something.
Yes, when he was tormenting Jesus to get off the cross and
man,
trying to get them.
Cold. No.
I'm going to throw some water on him.
No. This ain't no ALS challenge.
Okay, what are some other arrows that the devil uses? Okay, hold. Let somebody else answer, baby. Let somebody else answer, Makai.
Ouija board.
What are some fiery darts? What are some fiery arrows?
Charlie.
Ouija board.
Okay.
The machine that helps you talk.
When you think of fiery arrows, there are things that the devil uses to attack you.
Music.
Car trouble trying to get to church.
Car trouble trying to get to church.
Car accidents. Fire.
Your desires. Greed. Things that you want.
Greediness.
Your phone being off.
Greediness, your phone
money.
Being off. Okay, greediness with money.
Not sharing with homeless people.
What did Kayla?
Financial problem.
Anger issues.
Shallow friends. Drug addict.
Being addicted to drugs.
Cocaine.
Uh-huh.
Okay,
you know a little too much. What are some other fiery arrows?
Being stuck in the same grave for you.
What? That's perfect.
Oh, you saying me?
Stop.
Sorry, Mom. I got one.
What about, stop. So, think about your life. I want you to think about your life, you. What are some arrows that he shoots at you?
I got one.
What are some arrows? No, you done told us.
Shoes, games.
Brittany? Okay, drinking.
Being around the old crowd.
Okay, that ties into those desires, right? Desire to sin.
Not old crowd, like old people.
Not like us.
Okay.
Adam. I can't.
You got to
talk outside of your hand.
Come on, like some of that, like hit me.
Yes.
Female.
What? Mm.
You ain't saying names.
Wow, females. Okay.
School.
Your grades. He can use your grades to make you feel like what?
You're not doing well.
You're not smart enough. You're not good enough. Josh, what are some fiery arrows that he uses? What are some fiery arrows that he uses for you? Stop that, Makai. Huh?
Friends or other people.
Okay. All right. DeKayla.
Job.
That's what he uses for you? Job.
Oh, wait. For us?
For you.
Oh, I did that.
What are some arrows he uses for you? I don't need y'all to answer for nobody else.
I'm talking about me.
Okay.
Me too.
We'll let her finish. Transportation? How is that an arrow? Why are you looking at your daddy out the corner?
Bus ticket.
I'm getting ready to use that as my fiery dart. Go ahead.
Okay. Transportation to dance practice. Okay, Adam?
I got two.
Okay.
Money.
Mm-hmm.
Parents.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Okay. All right. Makai?
Shoes. candy, well, slime stuff, and GameStop.
Okay, buying stuff in GameStop, Natasha?
Finally, I'm to the desires, because I think a lot of what we're saying are the desires that we want, and sometimes those desires don't line up with God's will.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have such a strong desire that Satan can give it to you just as well.
Okay, okay, all right. Whitfield?
Succumbing to other people's expectations.
Yeah.
And they always throwing them at them. And then you're trying to live up to that and not up to what, not staying in the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
His expectations.
Yeah. I think from
car riding.
Huh?
And having to get up at 4 p.m., and then having to drive 15 miles to pick up two kids that have practice on two extremes of Bush Boulevard, then having to go back and pick them up, and then have to go back and pick the other one up.
Oh, that sounds a little like that.
The coach is waiting on me at 8 o'clock, and I don't get there until 8:30, because there's no way that I can be in.
Come back. When I think about the fiery darts that the enemy shoots at me, it's not, like you said, the expectations, not living up to the expectations of people, not being enough. And sometimes those darts, you know, come so fast. But that's why we've got to be able to hold up the shield of faith. And that's where the Word of God comes in. And that's when we've got to pick scriptures that fit our situation and recite those scriptures. Not only recite them, but get them in our heart so that when situations and he shoots the dart, you can return it, you can knock it off with the shield of faith and let the word be that shield for you.
Which means we got to stay in his word.
We got to stay in the word.
Know the scriptures. That applies to us.
For ourselves. Know the scriptures for ourselves, okay?
And I just say I am so glad that he doesn't require us to have a shield on our back. Because, one thing, God does not want any cowardly soldiers in his army.
Right.
So that, therefore, if he allowed us to have the shield, we would turn and retreat.
Run.
Every time.
So
if you only have it on in the front, you have to be constantly advancing.
Wow, that's good. Adam?
Well, you said it reminded me of, I was learning something in history. I didn't like the class, but I remember this one thing. I remember this one thing. It was one of the generals. I think it was for the Confederacy before,
General Lee.
Before General Lee, and he thought he was bigger than the president. So the president told him to do something, and he didn't listen. And he did what he wanted to, but he was too scared to push forward. So he always played defense.
Wow. And we don't want to be those Christians that always play defense and are always reactionary. You know, we want to be on the offense. We want to be proactive and not reactive, just responding to things that happen instead of, you know, actually thinking about, okay, where do we want to be? What do we need to do? And then moving forward to do that. Okay? All right. Okay. Well, we'll come back. Well, you can tell me later, okay? Verse 17, Joshua.
Oh my God. Really like
you. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Okay. So we're putting salvation on as our helmet. Our salvation protects our mind. Mm-hmm. Joyce Myers has a book called Battlefield of the Mind, mm-hmm. and says that our greatest battles are in our mind, right? It's fighting our own thoughts, you know? The enemy knows how to play with your mind and tell you you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, oh, you'll never be able to do it, oh, you might as well just quit. You need to just stop. Why are you even worrying about that? If I was you, I would just hit them back, you know? Why would you want to pray? Praying doesn't do anything. God doesn't hear you. You're not good enough for him to hear, you know? So he tells us all of these things. And they're often things that play on messages that we got when we were children. And so he takes those messages that were implanted when we were children, and he continues them into our adulthood. And he keeps playing the same tapes over and over and over and over and over again until we understand that salvation is not just about our heart. It's about our mind. See, that's why the Word of God says that he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and what? A sound mind. Love, power, and a sound mind. Because our mind has to be sound. Otherwise, we'll be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, and we'll be double-minded. And a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, which means you can't stand firm if you're double-minded. Because you're going back and forth, back and forth. Today you're hot, tomorrow you're cold. Today it's left, tomorrow it's right. You've got to stand. So we put on the helmet of salvation, and we take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so we can now use the Word of God to cut down the lies of the enemy as they come at us. Those darts that he's shooting, we can hit them with the shield of faith and cut them with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which means you've got to know the Word of God. I'm not saying you got to know Ephesians 6, verse 11 says da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Jesus didn't say it like that. And before the Bible was put together, it wasn't done like that. But it was in the book of Isaiah, you know, in the book of Isaiah, you know. And then he would say the scriptures because it wasn't numbered like that. But the important thing is that you've got the word in your spirit. Give me one scripture that you know. One scripture. I want you to recite it. One scripture. Adam.
The book.
You don't have to do all that, but just say the scripture. If you know the book and the verse, say it. But go ahead.
God so loved the world that he gave only begotten Son, that whoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life.
Okay. You know where it is?
Yep.
Where?
John 3:16.
Okay. All right. All right. Yeah, I mean, Makai.
I know one off my head. I don't know where it's from.
Okay.
I learned it.
Okay.
And dang it. I forgot it myself.
Okay. That's okay. We'll come back to you, DeKayla. One scripture. Okay, Josh, you got. Oh, you do know one. You do know one. Brittany, one scripture.
Walk by faith, not by sight.
Okay, we walk by faith, not by sight. Mr. Whitfield, one scripture. I know you know a lot of them, just one.
Jesus wept.
Jesus wept. Listen.
Charm
is deceitful and beauty is
fading,
but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Yes, DeKayla.
I could
draw
all things through him.
You done looked it up,
DeKayla. No, I remember it. I didn't know it word by word, but I didn't have to remember it, so I wasn't my phone.
You don't have to know word by word.
I meant, well, anyway.
What is it? What is it again?
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay, okay. All right.
This guy's looking it up.
Look.
What's Genesis 1:1?
Oh, God created the earth. Wait.
He kind of gave you a head start.
what that means, Josh. Next week you got to know a scripture. Next week you got to know a scripture. My scripture is, he who began a good work in me is faithful and just to bring it to completion until the coming of Christ. You always have to have a scripture that you can hold on to, something that will get you through stuff in your life. Now, why would I pick that one? He who began a good work in me is faithful and just to complete it until the coming of Christ. Because if your issue is, or the message that the enemy always attacks you with is, you're not enough, you're not good enough, you're never going to get there, then you've got to have a scripture that refutes that. Because I may not be able to do it, but guess who can?
God.
He can. Because he promised me in his word that he who began the good work in me, and it is a good work, is faithful and just to bring it to completion until the coming of Christ, which means he's not going to stop bringing this work to completion in me until Christ comes back. It doesn't stop. So no matter how many times I mess up, Brittany, he's going to still continue to work on me. It doesn't matter if I don't get it all right. It doesn't matter if I don't know all the answers. He's going to continue the work. Okay?
That is me.
Mm-hmm.
I know they just studied the whole armor.
Mm-hmm.
But so many times we, those are only the ones mentioned in Ephesians, because there are so many other battle gear that he has given us.
Right.
And the one that I use all the time is worship.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you, you can be mad and pissed off to the hill.
Yes.
But if you get in a worship spirit, there is no way you can stay mad.
Yes.
Even if you want to, you have to turn off the worship music so you can continue to be mad.
Right.
You can't do both.
That's right.
And that's why he wants us to worship him.
Yes.
To be in worship.
Yes.
At all times. Have a, if you don't remember the scriptures, have a song in your heart. Because most songs are based on scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
They are. The good ones. I'm sorry. The good ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Okay, so we're at verse 18. Verse 18. Okay, you've already read.
Brittany.
Brittany. I've already read too. You have read?
And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. For all the Lord's people. Not some of them. Not just Christians, but all the Lord's people.
Mm-hmm.
Pray also for me. That whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Is that Paul?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, the I is Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, in other words, pray for your pastors. Pray for the ones that are bringing the word.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like
that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We've got to pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. And one of the reasons that Paul talks so much about praying in the Spirit is that sometimes our mind will get in the way. I'm not going to lie to you. It's some folks, it's hard for me to pray for with understanding. It's hard for me to form their mind. Okay? But when I pray in the Spirit makes intercession. And so even though in understanding, you know, my prayer might be short and terse, when I pray in the Spirit intercedes, and the Spirit makes the intercession necessary. So we have to pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion, and stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Listen. Christians are being persecuted. Like, we don't really see it as much here. But in other countries, people can't get together like this. Like, they have to do all kinds of covert things to even come together to study the Word of God.
Yeah.
And we can't learn a scripture? What are we going to do when we don't have Bibles? Because there will come a time, if we're still living before, you know, Jesus returns, where there will we will not have access to Bibles. So the only word you're going to have is not going to be on your smartphone. It's not going to be in the text. It's got to be in your heart. You've got to memorize it. Adam?
When you said heart, pray for some people, okay, I was in kindergarten. It was this one boy. He did not like me at all. I don't know why. It was a boy. His name was Hugh.
Hugh.
Hugh, not Huey. Hugh.
Hugh.
And this boy hated me, I swear. And, like, yeah, told me first some of the dumbest stuff. And then when I got home, you said pray for him. It was the one time I don't remember. And then I tried, but I couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
She remembered because she remembered when you stole those stoppers, too.
Oh, there you go. You always, the main one talking about don't judge is the one that want to throw everybody else's stuff out. I don't remember that, Adam, but you know what? It's encouraging to me that you remember that from kindergarten. And it's encouraging to me that that's what I told you. Was the pray for him. But guess what? Guess what, Adam?
What?
Just like I told you that, I have to tell myself that.
Ow.
And just like it was hard for you, sometimes it's hard for me. And so that's why we have to pray for one another, that we'll be able not just to know what is right, but to do it, even when it's uncomfortable. Even when it's hard.
But that's something that, fortunately, Adam struggled with.
Ow.
Forgiving,
mm-hmm.
praying for others. That's just not, I don't struggle with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thankful because I see it as a lot of people do struggle with it,
wow.
but I don't. I can't even hold a grudge longer than a couple hours.
I saw that in her, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like that. And I'm always, they'll tell you what, my wife is always telling me. Why do you always have to forgive everybody? Why do you always, I mean, they're just using you. And my comeback is, and nobody use me unless I allow them to use me. You know, it's just so having that spirit and heart that you have, that is commendable. You know, and a lot of Christians are trying to get to that point, whereas you were just gifted with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
it's a gift.
Yeah, it is.
That's a gift. There is a gift in that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. But see, I'm going to tell you who's like that. Intercessors are like that. People who are called to intercession are like that.
You have to
be like that. You know? You have to be able to forgive, you know? Because otherwise your prayers are blocked. And that's the part that we often forget, is that when we refuse to forgive others, then God can't forgive us. And so if we want God's forgiveness, we've got to forgive. I was talking to one of my sisters today, and I was telling her, she said, well, how did you get to the point where you accepted the fact? Because, you know, y'all know I tell the story. I did not want to pastor. I didn't want
sister?
No, spiritual sister. I didn't want a pastor. I didn't want a pastor. I didn't ask for this. I tried to get away from it. Listen, I ain't got time for that. I don't want that weight or that responsibility. She said, how did you get to the point where you just said yes? I said, well, the thing is, I have to say yes every day. Multiple times a day. Like each day I have to get up and say, yes, I'm going to do this, God. Yes, I will, God. And so it's not a one-time thing where you say yes once and that's it. You have to constantly say yes to God. It's a constant thing. It's not a one-time thing. It's constant. Okay. So Paul said, and pray for me, you know, that God will give me the right words so that I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan, because it's mysterious, right? That the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. Because remember, during this time, the Jews did not feel like the Gentiles could be saved. So he said, listen, pray for me that I'll have the word to explain that they can be saved too. Okay, so here we go. I'm going to say it, right? Pray for me that I'll have the word to explain that gay people can be saved too. Because Christians are getting, oh, you can't be saved and gay. Oh. You can. Like, the Gentiles could be saved. It's baffling, though, because it seems mysterious when you think that God only is going to receive or hear from heterosexuals. Well, that's not really how God works. And he had to break the Israelites down, the Jewish people down, and even when Peter was on the rooftop and he showed him all the different types of animals and he said, don't call anything I made unclean. Don't call anything I made unclean. Don't call it unclean. Because Peter only knew what he had always known in his religious training. And so what God did was took someone else who had received that kind of religious training but was persecuting Peter and the other disciples, the other Christians, the followers of Christ. And so now he's using Paul. He's using Paul to show that the Gentiles could receive the same filling of the Holy Spirit. Because in that way, they would know by the evidence of the Holy Spirit that they too had had an encounter with Jesus Christ. God is a God that while he does some things that seems mysterious to us, it's not mysterious to him. But Paul understood that he knew he needed to have the right words to be able to explain to people that God loved the Jews and the Gentiles. He was calling the Jews and the Gentiles. And so he got it. He understood it. Verse 20.
Me.
Natasha.
For which I am an ambassador in chains, pray that I may declare fearlessly as I should.
God wants us to be able to proclaim his word fearlessly, without fear of what people are going to say. He wants us to be able to be bold in our declaration of his word. He doesn't want us to run from it.
Can I read this part, this explanation at the bottom of 19 and 20? Undiscouraged and undefeated, Paul wrote powerful letters of encouragement from prison. Paul did not ask the Ephesians to pray that his chains would be removed, but that he would continue to speak fearlessly for Christ in spite of them. God can use us in any circumstance to do his will. Even as we pray for a change in our circumstances, we should also pray that God will accomplish his plan through us right where we are. Knowing God's eternal purpose for us will help us through the difficult times.
That's good. And that's it. It takes prayer. It takes prayer. That's why prayer is so important. Prayer changes things. It can change a situation, but even if it doesn't change the situation, it can change us in the situation. It may change the other person in the situation. And it may change the situation. But at the end of the day, we need God to make a change in order for his will to be fulfilled. And that's why for the next few weeks we're going to go into the war room. We're going to learn how to establish our own personal war room, how to pray strategically, not just for ourselves and our situations and what's going on in our lives, but for God's kingdom, that the kingdom of God would be made manifest and that his will would be done on the earth. Y'all, it's bigger than us. It's bigger than Acts. It's bigger than Tampa. It's bigger than Florida. It's bigger than the U.S. It's bigger than all of that. There is a war that is being waged. And we're a part of the war, whether we realize it or not. And the question is, where are you on the battlefield? Or are you even on the battlefield? Adam?
Talking today, okay, you know how it falls, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's people I play online with, and it was this one dude I came across. Okay, so I'm going to tell you this now so you you get the relation. So, okay, so in Call of Duty, if you're hiding off in a spot and you're just, killing everybody from that spot, if you're hiding and nobody sees you and you just, take over the whole game, it's called camping, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was this boy online. I don't know if it was one of his mom, but I looked at his bio. He said, camping hard as a Jew. And I said, I told him, it's not cool. I said, so you change your name. Change the bio. And he changed it. But he tried to be funny. He put stealing like black.
He's racist. Wow.
I just laughed at it. It was funny.
Read that.
What's wrong with you?
He hurt my feelings. I'm going back.
You read real fast.
Okay. Hello, sir. Hello, young man. What are you doing at 8 p.m. in Ghana? Nothing, sir. I am just posting encouragement words on my page. What are you also doing now, sir? The same.
18 years old.
Okay, the same thing. That's what my page is all about, encouragement. Have you ever thought about working in ministry? I would love to have you link up with my pastor. She has been wanting to expand her vision into other countries, starting with the mother of all countries, Africa. I prophesied that it would start in Nigeria, but now I'm beginning to see why we have kept in touch with each other. Yes, I have thought about a ministry, but I haven't got any person to start with. What do you mean? Surely there must be someone there spreading the gospel of Jesus the Christ. If you are serious, pray about it. Seek God's approval, and I will discuss it with my pastor. I am excited. Boys will be boys till someone teaches them to be more.
This guy from Africa, Ghana, as he's been following me, my page.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize it until he contacted me in March.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been communicating. And he's been in school. Finally, with honors,
mm-hmm.
and he wants to come over to the U.S., obviously, to study
mm-hmm.
abroad. But just today, I was revealing to him he has a purpose in Ghana, preaching God's word.
Mm-hmm.
And he just is waiting on someone to link up with, to train him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it just shows that the power of God, when you were talking about, is bigger than us. It's bigger than the Acts. It's bigger than Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just by us walking and talking or writing, let your Facebook be positive.
Mm-hmm.
It will encourage people.
Right.
You don't have to fight people on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Turn it around.
Mm-hmm.
Use your whole armor.
Right.
And people who you never will realize, they would attach themselves to your walking and your talking
mm-hmm.
and your writing.
Yes.
And that's what happened today.
Wow. Wow. Take that back to your dad, Josh.
Mm.
Wow. Well, I'm excited. For those of you who have not officially met Natasha, I had the opportunity to meet her when I went to the event for the pastors with Miss Betty Reed. And I just got a chance to talk to her, and we've talked on several occasions. And she had offered to open her home up, for our life group. And I said, you know what? You know, God just really dealt with me. It's like, now, how is someone that don't even go to the church willing to open their home up? And you're like, well, I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't know. Like, something's off about that. And so he really dealt with me on that. But I think that's the kind of person that she is, and that's the kind of heart that she has. But then also, she's the one that when I told you all about the one church, one block.
Okay, yes.
That's Natasha. She's the one that, you know, our conversation, and she said, you know, I just have this vision of that. And I said, that's good. Like, well, you need to do that. You need to do that. Make that happen. But when you were talking with Phil, this is the other thing I thought about. One church, one block, one church, one country.
Mm-hmm.
So that we are both plugged in locally
and
globally.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's what he wants.
Yes.
That's what he said.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's good.
Not just for Tampa.
Right.
They preach it all.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Mm.
And it's interesting because I've been trying to figure out who that person. Remember I was telling
mm-hmm.
you the activist, community activist, she calls herself. And how about I'm on Facebook today, and her face pops up, not knowing that I was to meet you tonight. But she's very caustic, but she does have a heart.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't see the heart side.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Jill Williams.
No.
Okay. So I'm just throwing it out there, and I think that she can become a strong part of the puzzle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and I think the key is
mm-hmm.
that it just has to start.
Mm-hmm.
It just has to start. I think sometimes we make things really complicated
yeah.
when they really are not that complicated. They really are simple, right? But we make them complicated because, yeah, we overcomplicate stuff. We just overcomplicate stuff. But I'm excited. I'm excited. And we're going to talk more about One Church, One Block and what we're going to do and how we're going to do it in the soon coming weeks. Because we're going to get started this summer. We're working out some details and logistics and stuff. But I'm excited that she has entrusted us to be a part of this process,
wow.
you know, in the early stages and to really help get it going and spread the word about it and to get out there and get busy in the community, which is something that is very important. Okay?
I'm excited for these young people.
I am too.
Because I know this, I was just reading all day long, but it was a passage where Peter was sharing from Prophet Joel
mm-hmm.
that in the last days,
yeah.
God will have your sons and your daughters, that means young people.
Yeah.
Prophesying.
Mm-hmm.
Because then he goes on to explain that men, older men,
mm-hmm.
will have dreams and visions.
Mm-hmm.
But he said that the young people will prophesy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited because we're in the last days.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited because we're teaming up with your one church, one block. And I think is he's going to use the young people
mm-hmm.
for that
mm-hmm.
because they're ready. I mean, they can't refute the word. It's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It may not happen with them if they don't choose, but it's going to happen because it's word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm just excited.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited, Brittany.
Mm-hmm. But you know it's already happening. We feel just like when the last service at in Largo
mm-hmm.
when Kay started.
Oh, yeah.
Kay was prophesying. She's 15 years old
mm-hmm.
and she was standing up there by me, a strong prophetic gift. And I told
mm-hmm.
her, I said, "Girl, you a prophet, you know." And I was just talking about what a prophet is and what a prophet does. She was like, "Oh, that's why."
Oh,
I'm like I am. She's like, I thought I was crazy.
Wow.
She thought she was crazy.
Wow.
empathy. I'm telling you, when you're young like that and you see stuff and you just know stuff, you think something is wrong with you. You really do, or you think you're causing stuff to happen. And that's the struggle of being a prophet is when you're young, it's scary to you. And so we were talking about it, but she was standing up there, and as we were prophesying, she was saying stuff, you know, and she was saying what she was seeing. Like, and she was seeing the same thing, you know, and it was like, wow. And so she began to prophesy, you know, and then my daughter began to prophesy because my daughter's a prophet, you know. So we've got all these young prophets. We got a house full of prophets. Dekayla's a prophet. Dekayla prophesies too. So we've got all these prophets. All these prophets, young people, and there's no way that I'm going to willingly sit back and let them think something is wrong with them when I know it's that they've got a gift and they've got to understand the gift and they've got to learn how to operate with the gift and not abuse the gift because it can be abused, you know, to really train them up. I see a team of young prophets.
I see a school.
I do too.
Of young prophets.
I do too. I do too. I do too. Young people, you know, understanding the prophetic and the gifts and how to operate in them and how to flow in them.
Feeding off of each other's
mm-hmm.
gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Energy.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the X-Men.
Uh-huh. That's right. That's right. That's right. So, tonight, what is it that is your takeaway? What are you taking away from tonight? What did you learn tonight? What did you learn tonight?
Oh, yes,
Joshua! Yes! Go ahead, Boo. Yes, you can't tell him to fix somebody without him fixing you first. Mm. Adam.
Never walk away without a verse in your heart because you won't always have it to look at.
Okay. All right, never walk away without a verse in your heart. You won't always have it to look at. Dekayla.
Let God stop people.
Sometimes you got to let God stop you in what you're doing to realize what's going to happen. Makai?
Yeah, devil uses different ways to make us do something bad.
The devil uses different ways to make us do something bad. Britt.
That we have to repent.
Natasha.
That I've been putting off for 5 years now, creating my prayer room.
Mmm.
I haven't done it yet.
Wow.
We need to go.
Minister Whitfield.
I'm excited. I don't know when you started talking about the war room, but you remember the trip I took in Austin, Texas,
mm-hmm.
and the
yeah.
reunion of old people. Anyways, my chief, the PA, showed me. He sent it. My Facebook page. The war room. So I started researching it. And I was like, the war room, this is going to become an epic movement of God. And I think that he wants all, I mean, not just religion, but all of these body entities of his to come together collectively and return powerful prayer.
Yes.
And it starts with the war room.
Mm-hmm.
And I never had a war room. I mean, I just prayed forever. But now I'm realizing that although it's piece of a war room, I don't want to take from the movie, but the war room is in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Because as long as I'm fired up, as long as I have it there, as long as I have it in my belly with the Holy Spirit, I can pray.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I understand the war room for the seclusion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so you can have that one-on-one encounter.
Mm-hmm.
Just like what was the song in the room coming into the room?
Mm-hmm.
The upper room?
That's what I was thinking. Jesus, the upper room, too. I was like, huh?
Jesus is my doctor.
What?
Oh my goodness.
Y'all need to hear that song.
But anyway, it talks about.
In my room or something.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It talks of the grandmother calling her adoption.
Mm-hmm.
Not her adoption on the phone. She went into the closet.
Mm-hmm.
In the white person's room, house. And she calls them her doctor. She started praying. And the doctor, the physical doctor, came and healed her son.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's prayer is powerful. I'm
Excited.
Well,
I'm excited as well. And one of the things we're going to do with Seraphim is set up our own war room in the community so that we can not only post prayer requests, but we can post when those prayers are answered.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things about the war room is you not only put in your prayer requests, but you also put in how the prayer was answered and when the prayer was answered, because it's a constant reminder that God answers prayers, and it helps build your faith.
Yes, well, for me, I have to see it, because I've done the apps where you can put in your prayers and all, but if you got to go into the app and do all of that, but it's for me to be able to see my prayers up on the wall. And without seeing this movie, I had already, I knew that's what I was supposed to have. I just hadn't done it. But to be able to put them on the wall and be able to go in the room or a closet or whatnot and pray and see it right when it was answered and all that, that's what I should have. I just haven't done it.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, you all, I'm so excited. I thank you all for another outstanding life group. Young people!
Welcome back,
you
Chester!
You did your thing! All of you did your thing. I'm very proud of you. Natasha, welcome, 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 girl.
Crazy me.
To our crazy family, honey. Our crazy family.
Crazy.
Yes, yes.
No,
no. I can't put you in a facility. I love you too much. I love you too much. All right, well, we're going to close out with prayer.
Somebody who hasn't been talking all day.
Josh.
Adam. Not Adam McAdam. He's been playing all day.
All right, come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Okay, who wants to close us out?
Adam.
Josh.
Adam.
People who are volunteering other people, I'm going to call on them.
Brittany.
I want y'all to volunteer to pray, not volunteer somebody else. Okay, come on, Makai.
Everybody, bow your head and close your eyes. Jesus, thank you for today. Lord, thank you for everybody who came to church. Well, thank you for everybody around the globe who, well, thank you for everybody around the globe. Thank you for this planet and this galaxy. Thank you for everything we have today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.